Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. Daf Kuf Mem Zayin. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Asa family in honor of Yosef and Norma Asa. Hashem Aleihem Yehyu. Today's daf is being studied in Fu'ah Shilema Sarah Bat Adel. Inna refanala, inna refanala, inna refanala, betok she'ar chole Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat, Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam, and Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenichem began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on daf Kuf Mem Vav Amud Bet at the Mishnah on the bottom of the daf. And the Mishnah says, Notnin tavshil letoch habor bishvil sheyehe shamur. A person is allowed to take a tavshil, which would mean a dish of food, tavshil, and he is able to place it in a bor. They're talking about a pit. Rashi says she'en bo mayim, there's no water in it, bishvil sheyehe shamur, which means you don't want the tavshil to spoil because of the heat, so you place it under the ground in a cool spot. So they're telling us in the Mishnah that that would be permissible to do on Shabbat. The Gemara will tell us what the chidush of such a statement is. Ve'tamayim hayafim bara'im bishvil shiyitzalenu. You're able to take mayim yafim, which means good waters, and you're able to place them in, we'll call them, a mikveh of mayim ra'im, of dirty waters, in order to cool off the waters that you have. Now obviously we're talking where the good water is in a vessel. So you're taking a vessel of cold water, good, drinkable, and you're immersing it in a mikveh of even dirty water, but the point is in order to cool off the good mayim yafim. Like the Mishnah says, Bishvil sheyitzalenu. Ve'tatzonen behama bishvil sheyihamu. And it is permissible to place cold water in the sun in order that it can warm up. As we know, there is no gezerah against using the sun in order to cook something. Even though there is a gezerah on toldat ta'ur, which means something that was heated up from fire, so that would be asur to cook, meaning it's asur to cook with fire, that's min ha-Torah. Something that was heated from the fire, that would be forbidden to use as well. For example, if you heated, let's say, ashes, and now you want to cook with the heat of the ashes, that's called toldat ta'ur. However, regarding the hama, cooking in the sun itself, so the Hakamim did not forbid that. As we see evident in our Mishnah, that you're able to take cold water and place it outside in the sun in order to heat it up. Mishnah continues. Mi shenashru chelav baderech b'mayim. A fellow's, let's say, garments fell off of him as he was walking on the road, and they landed in a puddle of water. So the Mishnah says, Mehalech Bahen. He's allowed to walk with them, meaning he could redress himself with the clothes and walk with them. Ve'eno Choshesh. And he does not have to suspect, meaning we don't have to be concerned that he might come and squeeze the garments and be subject to the Isur of Sechita. No, you can wear the garments. However, Igiya lachatzer achitzona, once you get to the most outer chatzer of the city, where you can take off your clothes at that point and they'll be in a protected area, then the rabbis want you to take the clothes off and leave there, which is they're lenient for you to walk your clothes, to wear them home. However, once you get to a secure area, they want you to take them off and leave them there. Rashi says, "L'chatzir ha'itzuna ha'simucha l'mavo ha'ir." That's close to the entrance of the city, betoch ha'ir shum makom mishtamer, which is a secured area. Now, the Mishnah concludes and says, "Shotchan b'hama." You're able to take them off and actually lie them out in the sun in order to sun dry them. However, the Mishnah says, but you can't do it if anybody's watching. Why? Because they're going to suspect, they're going to see wet clothes, they're going to suspect that you laundered them on Shabbat. And now you're coming to dry them. So because of Marit Ayin, it would be forbidden to do this in front of the Am. And now the Gemara is going to analyze our Mishnah. Gemara starts off, Peshita, which means, in the first case of the Mishnah, you could take a tafshil and you could store it in a bor. Peshita, why should it be asur? It says, Ma'u detema nigzar mishum asfuye gumot. You might think that we make a gezerah that when you're going to go put the tafshil in the board, you might see that the floor is not level, and you might come to smoothen out the floor of the board in order to place the tafshil, and that's going to be considered as gomot, which is boneh, and that's going to be asur. No, we don't suspect that you're going to come to be a mashveh gomot. Again, you could take the bottle of good water, clean water, and put it in the bad waters in order to cool it off. Peshita. Again, that's also pashut. Why should it be asur? So Gemara says, sefa etzterichale. Yeah, their case of the waters was really a hidush for the second case. What's the second case? The sefa of the Mishnah. Vetatzonen bechamin. Ubechama. We said that you're allowed to put the tzonen, the cold water, in the sun. That's the hadush. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Haname peshita. That's also pashut. Which means the rabbi didn't make a gezerah against the hama, against the sun. So the Gemara says, Ma'u detema nigzor dilma atel atmune beremetz. You might have thought that we wouldn't allow you to use the sun to eat something, because you might then come to use remetz. What is remetz? Remetz is ashes that became heated from fire. So maybe you think of making gezerah. You can't use the sun lest you come and warm up the water in the remetz, which is going to be asur, because remetz would be toldat ha'ur, a something that got heated by fire. Kamash malan, that we don't. Meaning, we don't make a gezerah from the sun to toldat ha'ur. Which means, even though toldat hama would be asur, meaning something that was heated from the sun, for example, let's say the sand that's heated from the sun, there we are going to make a gezerah. Because there you can come and make a mistake from toldat hama to toldat ta'ur. But the sun itself, you're not going to come to make a mistake between the sun and the fire, and therefore heating in the sun would be permissible. Comes the Gemara and says, Mishnashru. Now we continue learning the Mishnah, the case where the fellow's clothes fell off into the puddle, into the water. So Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol Makom She'asru Hakam Mipnei Marit Ha'ayin. Any time the rabbis made a gezerah of Marit Ha'ayin, that they didn't want you to do something because people are going to be watching and they're going to get the wrong impression, afilu bechadrei chadarim asur. Even it's forbidden if you're doing it in private, in a room of rooms, which means marit ha'ayin, once it's asur, it's not only asur when there's people watching, it's even asur to do the item even in private. So now the Gemara is going to ask a question. Tanan, what we learned in our Mishnah, shotchan bechama, you're able to take those wet clothes and lay them out to dry in the sun, aval lo keneged ha'am, but not keneged the people. So you see the different concept in our Mishnah. You see that while it's forbidden to do it in front of people, but you could do it between you and yourself. That goes against the principle that we said, that anything that's a surah of somebody to hayin is a surah even b'hadri hadarim. So the Gemara says, Tana'i. Actually, that principle is a machloket Tana'im. Detanya, shotchan b'hama avalo keneged ha'am. That's the first opinion of B'nai'ez v'shimon osrim. So you see, it's indeed a machloket Tana'im. If something is forbidden, Mishum Marit Ayin, how far did they take the restriction? One opinion says, it's only Asur for the people, but in private it would be permissible. But it would be the Shimon say it's Asur, even in private. Amar Ravuna. Now, Ravuna comes along and tells us a new Hiddush. Hamina'ir talito b'shabbat chayav chatat. If a person has a talit and he shakes it out on Shabbat because it has dust on it, so the Gemara says, shaking out your talit in order to take the dust off of it, so that is going to be subject to chayuv chatat. Now she learns the chayuv over here is libun, which means you are whitening. Gemara says, "Velo amaran ela behadte." First of all, it's only talking about a new garment where the taking off the dust is beneficial to the garment. It makes the garment look again like it's new. Aval ba'atike letlanba. But in an old garment, there is no isur of shaking out the dust. Velo amaran ela be'uchme. I'm only talking about a black garment, meaning a black garment, the dust makes it look dirty. And therefore, when you shake it out, it cleans it. But on a white talit or a red talit, there is no problem. The who, last condition, the kapid alayu. It's only talking about where you're particular about that dirt, which means if that dirt bothers you and you're particular to remove it, then you're going to have an isud of melaben, whitening, when you shake it out. Now, the way we understand that she's understood Hebrew, hu dekapid alayu, it's actually as a result of the other conditions, meaning once we told you it's got to be new, and once we told you it's got to be black, so it's automatic that on such big adim, you are makpid. Which is as a result of the first two conditions, it comes out, in these cases you will be makpid, because these type of garments are affected by the dust that's on it. But a red garment or a white garment, you're not really makpid even during the week. If, let's say, you would have some dust on it to actually shake it out, therefore there would be no isur on Shabbat in those cases, because it would be considered like a davar she'en mitkaven. Well, you don't really mitkaven to whiten, because even during the week you don't do it. So therefore, it's only isur if he's makpid. Now the Tosafot over here argues on Nashi. Tosafot comes along and says that you can't say that the issue over here is libun. Because libun, whitening, is only an isur when you're using water. But just to shake something out of its dust is not considered libun. So he learned the case is talking about where there's dew on the garment, where there's water. The whole issue is shaking out the garment from its dew, so then already you have an issue of libun. So the machlok, the Shiva Tosafot, we're talking about a dry garment or a garment that has tal on it. Comes the Gemaran continues, Ula ikra le Pumpedita. Ula found himself in Pumpedita. Hazar banan deka minapse gilimayu. He saw that the rabbis were shaking out their robes. Their robes had dust on it. They were shaking it out on Shabbat. Amar, so he said, Kamehalelin rabbanan shabbeta. The rabbis are being mechalel Shabbat. After all, we learned that minayim talitom Shabbat chayav chatat. Amadu Rav Yehuda nefutsu lebe'apeh. So Rav Yehuda told the rabbis, continue shaking it out in front of his face. Please don't pay attention to what Abaye is saying. Why? Anan lo kabdinan mide. We are not makpid on this. We're not particular. Meaning, during the week we're not particular. Oh, but it seems on Shabbat, if they were shaking it out, they were particular. No, which means lichpon Shabbat, so they went a little extra just to shake out the talit. But during the week, they'd wear it that way. So therefore, since during the week they're not particular to shake out the talit, that they're doing it on Shabbat is they just lichpon Shabbat, they're doing something extra. But it does not make them hayav. So therefore, they were not makpid, and therefore it is permissible. If you look at the fourth line in Nashira, she says, "Lo kabdina, lo ichbat talim yishaleh abak." I don't care if there's some dust on it. Hilkach lav libunu. Therefore, it's not considered libun. Abaye abba ka'e kamed Rav Yosef. Abaye was in front of Rav Yosef. Amar le. So Rav Yosef told Abaye, "Hav li kumta'e." He says, "Give me my hat." She says, "Kobai." Hazad ika tala'ale. So Abaye saw that there was some dew on Rabbi Yosef's hat. Hava kamehasem nimidbele. So Abaye was hesitant to give it to him, because now he's going to shake it off, and the dew, when you shake it off, it's going to be an issue of libun. So he didn't know exactly what the proper protocol, should he give it to him, shouldn't he give it to him? After all, Abaye held that this could be a problem. So Amar le mefot shedeh. So Rabbi Yosef told Abaye, shake the dew off. Don't worry about it. Nefot shedeh, shake the dew off. Anan lo kabdina mide. He says, I'm not makpid on this. And therefore you could learn from here another idush, that even though, let's say, the whole discussion, who is the makpid over here that has the issue? Is it the one that's wearing that, or the one that's shaking it out? From this Gemara, it sounds like Abaye himself would have been makpid. But Rabbi Yosef telling Abaye, you shake it out, I'm not makpid. So it seems it goes after the wearer and not the one that is actually shaking it out. So I want to make that diyu from this Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak bar Yosef Amar Rabbi Yohanan, hayotze betalit mekupelet munachato al ketefo b'shabbat, hayav chatat. In the olden days, used to wear a talit, basically like we wear today. They would place it over their head, and it would drape down over their shoulders and down their back. Instead, this fellow is not wearing it in the conventional way, but he folds up the talit that's hanging on his back, and he drapes it on his shoulders, which is not the way that the garment is worn. So the Gemara says, if he wears it on Shabbat like that, it's going to be considered carrying, and therefore it's going to be considered Hayav Chatat. Tell you the we have a bright to support this. Sochare Kesut, those merchants that sell suits, Hayotzin betalitot mekupalot, that they go out on Shabbat where their talits are folded, umanachot al ketfein, and they are resting on their shoulders, b'Shabbat, Hayavim Chatat. I think we Hayav Chatat because they are considered carrying. And not only merchants that sell clothes and suits do we say going to be hayav, ela kol adam, anybody that goes out like that, ela shedarkan shel mochrin latzedkach, only because we use them as example, because they usually go out like that, and therefore we chose them as the example. V'chenvani, and a merchant, hayotze b'ma'ot asirurin lo besadino, if he goes out on Shabbat with monies that he ties to his sadin, sadin would be like his hat or his scarf, so he ties money in the pouch, let's say, that's attached to his clothes, hayav hatat. He's going to be hayav hatat, because bottom line, he is considered carrying that money. The money doesn't become an accessory to the garment, it's considered carrying. And not only, literally is a money changer, not only the money changer is going to be hayav, ela amru ela kol adam. Anybody goes out like that on Shabbat, ela shedar kosher chenvani, that's it kach. That's just the derech of the chenvani to go out like that. Therefore, they're going to be hayav. Again, this is not considered derech malbush. This would be considered carrying. Ve'haretanim, retanim, as she says, are people from a certain place. That's the name, retan. Right, so the people come from retan, they're called retanim, yotzin, besudarin, she'al, ketfehen. They're allowed to go out with the sudar. Sudar is a type of scarf that they would wear on their shoulders. So they were saying it would be permissible to wear that type of sudar on the shoulders. But not only the retanim, ela kol adam, anybody, ela shedar kanchel retanim, that's it. Just a way of the retanim to go out like that, but everybody would be permissible, because that considered derech malbush. There was a story with Hurkanos, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanos, shiyatza besudar she'al ketefo b'shabbat. He wore the sudar. Sudar is actually, again, a hat that they wear on their head, and it drapes down on their shoulders. But it's not like a talit that goes all the way down the back. It's a head, and you know, like it just drapes on the shoulders itself. So there was a story of Hurkanos that went out on Shabbat wearing the sudar. Ela shenima kiruchado be'etzba'o. He actually tied one of the nimot of the strings that was coming out of the hat. He tied it to his finger. Why did he do that? Just in case the sudar, you know, flies off, so he won't come and carry it and lift it up, because it's already attached to his finger. So therefore, he not only did he wear it, but he actually did an extra thing by tying the string of the sudar to his finger. That she says, "Shelo yipon neketefav," in order that it doesn't fall.
So Shabbat, about the Fnei Chachamim, when the rabbis heard about what he did, Amru, Afilu en nima kiruchalo be'etzba'o. Even if he didn't tie the nima to his finger, it would have been permissible. So long as he's wearing it, and even though it goes down to his shoulders, it is permissible. That Rashi of Nachman, Ba'arav Chazda, Mishemed, Rav Chazda. Halacha, afalpi, she'en nima kiruchalo be'etzba'o. Halacha is, even though the nima is not tied to his finger, it would be permissible. It's the normal way to wear it. Ula story ekla lebe ase bar hinne ekla ula found himself in the house of ase bar hinne baru mine. So they asked the question to Ula, ma ula asot marzev be Shabbat, which literally means, can one make a marzev? This is referring to a style in the garment that they used to wear. Literally, it's a gutter. Like the gutters that they have on their roofs, like we learned yesterday, we learned also a mezev that they used to make on the barrel. Here it's a mezev where they used to take their robes, let's say, and they used to make on the bottom, they used to stitch it in a certain way and put pins or something, where the bottom of the garment was like an extended hem, where it became like a keli, where you were able to actually, let's say, store things inside of it. So the Gemara wants to know, can you make the merzev, meaning this type of gutter, on the clothes itself? So the Gemara says, Amar lehu, hachi amar bilai, asur la'asot merzev b'shabbat. You don't, it's asur. So the Gemara says, my merzev, what exactly is this merzev? So Amar bizera, kise bablayata. It's the keys, it's the pocket on the garments of the Babylonians. See, they would make this, you know, this pocket that would extend from the garment. It seems the reason why it's asur is because it's makebe patish, meaning the garment is not complete until you fashion it with that special type of pocket that they would call a merzev. So that was going to be asur of Shabbat. Rabbi Yirmiyah, bayatif kamed Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Yirmiyah was sitting in front of Rabbi Zera. Amale, hachemai. So he showed him a certain style on the clothes. He said, what's the deen with this? Amar le asur. That would be asur to do. The hachimai. And what about this? He was showing him different options. And amar le asur. And this is asur as well. Amar papa. Nekotai klala biyadecha. So you know what? Regarding the marzev, take this rule, and you'll know exactly which ones are mutar and which ones are asur. What's the rule? Kol adate delichenufe asur, which means if the doubt of the person that makes this this marzev on the bottom of the garment, if it's the chenufe that she says shehem to kantamid, meaning he wants to keep it there permanently, so that's considered makebet patish, and that's considered finishing off the garment. That's going to be asur. Call the lehitna or chari. But if you're just doing it temporarily for decorative purposes, so it'd be mutar. So that's the rule with the barzev. Ki ha derav shisha bere derav idi mitnae besadino hava. Which means, just like the rabbi was mitnae besadino, he would make the barzev, but he would did it for noi, for decorative purpose, and therefore was considered mutar. Ki atar avdimi. When Avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Pamachat Yatsa Rabbi Lasadeh. One time Rabbi, meaning the Benu HaKadosh, went out into the field on Shabbat. Ve'ayush Nesideh Talito, and the two sides of his talit, Munachim Al Ketefo, they were resting on his shoulders. Which means, till now we learned, if a person is wearing a talit, he cannot take the part of the talit that's draping down his back and lift it up and put it on his shoulders. That's clearly carrying. Rabbi was doing something different. Rabbi was just taking the fringes, meaning the sides, and draping them over the shoulder, the right and the left shoulder, but the garment itself was still draped down his back. So he wasn't taking the whole garment and lifting it up and putting it on his shoulders, which definitely would be carrying. He was taking the corners of the garment somehow and putting them over his shoulder. Of course, Rabbi held, obviously that's not considered carrying. Amar lefanav Yehoshua ben Ziruz. So a rabbi called Yehoshua ben Ziruz, who happened to be ben Hamib shel Rabbi Meir, who was the brother-in-law of Rabbi Meir. He said, Bezur lo chayev Rabbi Meir hatat? Says Rabbi, I'm surprised. You don't think Rabbi said what you're doing is chayav hatat on Shabbat? Amar le, diktek Rabbi Meir had kan? The Bimir was so particular even on this. She says, I understand to lift the whole talit and put it on the shoulders. That I knew, but he's so particular, even if you put the corners of the garment on the shoulder and you're actually wearing it, you tell me he was so careful? You'd be hayab hatat on such a case over here? So, what did Rabbi do as a result? Shilshel Rabbi Talito. Out of respect for the opinion, he lowered down his talit and he did not drape anything or place anything on his shoulders. Ki ata Ravin, when Ravin came from Babel, from Eretz Yisrael, Amar lo Yehoshua ben Ziruz Ava. He says, got the story wrong. It wasn't Yehoshua ben Ziruz that rebuked Rabbi, Ela Yehoshua ben Kefusae. It was a different Yehoshua. Ben Kefusae aya hatano shel Rabbi Akiva, the son-in-law of Rabbi Akiva. Amar, and he said, Bezulu hayev Rabbi Akiva hatat? He said, why? You don't think Rabbi Akiva said, in this case, Yahayab Khatat? Amar lo, so Rabbi answered him, Diktik, Rabbi Akiva Hatkan? Rabbi Akiva was so particular, even in this case, Shilshel Rabbi Talito. So Rabbi lowered the Talit. So the only difference between the first version and the second version is, who was the one that rebuked him? Was it the relative of Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Akiva? Third version of the story. Ki atad of Shmuel bar of Yehuda amar nish'al itmar. Meaning Rabbi was never wearing the talit on Shabbat on his shoulders. He was asked the question, if somebody would wear the talit in such a way, would it be asur or not? And Rabbi came along and said, mutar. So, what do you mean? You don't think Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Akiva would be mahmir in such a case? So then Rabbi said, okay, if they're mahmir, I'll also be mahmir. But he didn't actually wear the garment. It was all a she'ela. So comes the Mishnah. Harochetz b'meh me'ara u'b'meh teberia. A person on Shabbat bathed in meh me'ara, that's the waters of a cave, ubemeh teberia, or in the Tiberias hot springs. Common denominator between two cases is they're both hot water. Just like the hameh teberia is hot water, meh me'ara is water that's in a cave. They used to heat the water up and used to place it in a roofed area in order to keep the heat warm, to keep the water warm, so they put it in a roofed area. Now, of course, we're going to learn, and we know this already, it's forbidden to take a bath in hot water on Shabbat, even if it was heated from before Shabbat. That's why our Mishnah says, harochetz, meaning b'di'avad he did it. It doesn't say rochetz, meaning he's not allowed to chatelat to bathe. We're talking about a guy, he went and he did something that was asur, right? He bathed. Now what's the issue? Vinistapag, and now he dries himself. Now, clearly the Mishnah is going to tell us it is permissible for one to dry themselves with towels after they bathe on Shabbat. Now, drying yourself with a towel could be asur for one of two reasons. Either it can be asur because of sehita, that you might come to squeeze out the towel, or because you are cleaning the towel. The water is considered putting on the towel as libun. So there is no issue of libun. We'll discuss the second issue first. Because when do we say there's an issue of whitening a towel? Only when it's a dirty towel. Right? Then you're cleaning it. But a clean towel, there would be no issue of libun. Secondly, the first issue that we mentioned, sahita, the hakamim of it did not gozer sahita, since it's quite common for a person to bathe. So the rabbis are not going to put a gezerah that you might come to Sochet in a case where it's necessary for him to, dry himself. That was a common practice. So they waived the gezerah of, that you might come to be Sochet. So it says, he went into the Meh Me'ara, the cave waters that were hot, or the Meh Teberia, Vinistapag, and he dried himself. Afilu be'eser alumtiyot. Even if he used 10 towels. Lo yivim biyado. He's not allowed to bring them home. Meaning, we're talking about a place where there's an iruv. Rabbis put a restriction, you can't carry the towels home. Drying, yes. But carrying them home, they were concerned that on the way home, he might forget, and he might come and wring them out, and that would be sahita. Now, aval asara b'nei adam mistabekim b'aluntit ahat. However, 10 people, a are able to dry themselves with one towel, meaning they're able to use the common towel, they're able to all dry themselves, pinehem, yedehem, v'raglehem, meaning they're actually using it for the whole body to dry themselves, umivi'inotan biyadan, and they, meaning the 10 people, can bring home on Shabbat that one towel. We will see in the Gemara why they allow 10 people to carry one towel home, and they don't allow one person to carry 10. Now again, I should point out, we're only talking about a case where there is a eruv. Okay, the issue is not here carrying. And the Mishnah continues, Sachin, it is permissible on Shabbat to anoint oneself with oil. Right? In the old days they used to put, you know, oil on their body. It's permissible. Umeshamshim, umeshamshim, umemashmeshin. Memashmeshin, Rashi explains that they used to take their hand like a massage and rub it in exactly very, very hard. So it says, Sachin umemashmeshin, aval lo mitamelin. Now, mitamelin is you cannot do it bekoach, meaning you're allowed to rub it, but you cannot rub it with the koa. That would be more like a massage. And these items are going to be asud because they're like therapeutic. And the rabbis will say anything that's similar to refuah on Shabbat, let you come and pulverize medicine. Ve'lo mitgarerin. Furthermore, it is forbidden to peel skin. It seems when they used to go take baths, they used to have a certain type of apparatus. They used to peel the dead skin. So that she says that's considered ovdin dehol. That's a weekday activity, and then you cannot peel the dead skin off your body on Shabbat. En yordin lekurdima. One is not allowed to go to the river called Kurdima on Shabbat. The Gemara will tell us the reason for that. The en osin afik tavizin. You're not allowed to do the process called afik tavizin. That is an enema. But they used to take a certain potion in order to cause them to vomit. It comes from the Aramaic words afik. Afik is to remove. Zin is from the word zan, which means you're taking out the zan. You're taking out the food that you have in your stomach. So it'd be forbidden to take this enema on Shabbat. Again, this would be a therapeutic item, and therefore it's asur because of the standing is erav refuah. Ve'en me'atzebin et hakatan. Furthermore, it is forbidden to fix the vertebrae of a child that was born, and maybe some of his discs of the vertebrae are dislocated. It is forbidden to place them back into place on Shabbat. Ve'en me'chazirin et hashever. Furthermore, it is a suit of somebody, let's say, broke a bone, so it is forbidden to, let's say, put it back in its place. Again, that would be isu because of refuah. Mi shenifreka yado veraglo, if somebody, let's say, broke his hand or his leg, lo yitrefem besonen, he's not allowed to wash them thoroughly or massage them thoroughly. Tefim is actually to beat, like an egg. You beat an egg. Mm-hmm. So to put it in water in such a way, in order to heal it, that would be asut to put it. He could soak his feet or his leg in, or his hand in water normally. If he got healed, he got healed. But to do it in a strong way, that would be asut. Now the Gemara is going to explain. The Mishnah puts Me'ara and Me'teberia together to teach us. Ma Me'teberia Hamin, Af Me'ara Hamin. To teach you that we're talking about over here, hot waters. Just like the Tamir is hot springs, so too this water that's in the Me'ara is also hot. Now, Haruchetz Di'avadin. Now we understand the language of our Mishnah. Harochetz, meaning he bathed on Shabbat, implying that what? He shouldn't have bathed on Shabbat, because we know the rabbis made a gezerah that you're not allowed to bathe on Shabbat even in waters that were heated from before Shabbat. So the Gemara says, this is only talking about bathing. So we can make an implication from our Mishnah, Mechlal Dileishtatef Kol Gufo Afilu Lechatechila Shapir Dameh. it implies that, yeah, bathing is forbidden, but showering would be mutar. Right? Because the Mishnah only said arochetz, implying what? That if a guy wanted to take a shower in water, let's say that was heated from before Shabbat, sounds like from our Mishnah would be mutar. So the Gemara wants to know, who is the author of that shita? Mani. Who's the author? So the Gemara says, the Mishimoni. We have a shita like that, and we actually learned it early in the Masechet. It's the Mishimon. The Tanya, we have a Braita. Lo yishtatef adam. A person should not shower. Ben bechamin, ben besonen, devid b'mihir. So the b'mihir is the most strict. He doesn't allow showering, not in hot water, that was heated from before Shabbat, and even cold water. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Oh, so Rabbi Shimon is Matir. Cold water, and even hot water, that was heated from before Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bechamin Asur, Besonem Mutar. Rabbi Yehuda is the Makriya here. He says, hot water forbidden, cold water mutar. So we see the author of our Mishnah must be Rabbi Shimon. Benistapeg, Afidu Be'esir Aluntiyot. So he said, a guy is allowed to dry himself, right? And he uses even 10 towels, but what? He cannot carry them home. So the Gemara says, Resha Ributa Kamashmalan. This case, the Resha of the guy using 10 towels, there's a Hiddush in that case. Vesefa Ributa Kamashmalan. And the second case of the Mishnah, where the many people are using one towel, there's a Hiddush in that case as well. Resha Ributa Kamashmalan. The Hiddush in the Resha is what? Dafilu Haneh. Even these 10 towels, Dela Nefish. Obviously there's not going to be a lot of water soaked in these towels, because after all it's one guy, he used 10 towels. How much water could be in these towels? Still, since he's only one guy, we're not going to let him carry the towels home, because he might forget, there's nobody to remind him, and therefore he might come to squeeze out the towels. And the second case is also Hiddush. Here's the opposite. 10 guys all use the same towel. You can imagine how drenched and how wet, and especially it was Panav, Yadav, Kol Gufo, so it's very wet. What's the Hiddush in the Mishnah? Still, you can carry the towel home. Why? Kevan de Rabim Ninu, since there's 10 people, Midkere Adade, they'll remind each other. Which means, if somebody comes to make Sechita, the other will say, hey, Shabbat, and therefore it is permissible because we don't make a Gezerah where there's people that can remind. So there's a Hiddush in both cases. Again, we point out only in a case where there is an Iduf. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Braita, Mr. Pig, Adam Ba'aluntit. Person goes to the bathhouse, let's say, and he bathes. Now obviously we're talking about cold water. Okay? So he took a cold, let's say, bath, and now he dries himself with an Aluntit with a towel. Umaniha b'halon. Now, he can't take the towel home, but he can place it, let's say, on the windowsill of the bathhouse. Ve'lo yimserena le'ulayrin. Nor can you give it to the bathhouse attendant. Don't give him back the towel. Why? Mipnei shachashudin al oto davar. Because they were usually amei haaretz. And therefore, they don't know the halakha. And if you give it to them, they might come to squeeze out the towel. So do not give it to them on Shabbat. Rabbi Shimon Omer. And Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, Mr. Pig ba'aluntit achat. Number one, you can use the towel. You can dry yourself. Rabbi Shimon says you can actually bring the towel home. So obviously we have another shita here. Right? We have Rabbi Shimon now telling you can take the towel home. Amar le'abayil Rabbi Yosef il ketamai. So now it's the halakha. Can you take the towel home or not? Amar le'ha Rabbi Shimon. Ha Rabbi, Ha Shemuel, Ha Rabbi Yochanan. You actually have four rabbis that allow you to take the towel home. So the Gemara wants to know, where do you see all these opinions? Well, Rabbi Shimon had the Amran. Well, Rabbi Shimon, we just said it. Rabbi, how do we know that Rabbi allows an individual to take home the towel and he doesn't suspect that he might come to Sochet? So it says, Netanya, Amar Rabbi. Kishayinu lemedin Torah etzel Rabbi Shimon betekoa. Rabbi said, when we used to learn Torah by Rabbi Shimon in the city of Tekoa, hayinu ma'alin shemen ve'aluntit. We brought oil and a towel mehatze legag from a courtyard to the roof, umegag lekarpef, and from the roof to the karpef. That's an enclosed area. Ad she'ayinu magi'in etzel ma'yan, until we reached a certain wellspring, she'ayinu rochatzin bo, that we used to bathe there. Which means, first of all, we know that Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that all private domains can combine in order to allow you to carry, meaning you can go from a roof to a chatzer to a karpef, even though each one is an individual private domain, he considers them all one, like we learned earlier in the Masechet, and therefore they were able to get the towel and the oil to the river, and they carried it in this way. They had a route where they knew they could take this roof, go through this karpef, go through that chatzer without having to go through the Reshut Rabim. So they brought it there and they bathed there. So what does that prove to you? So Rashi tells us over here, "Umistamah lo ayu manichin ota ala ma'ayam imkom efker." They probably didn't leave it there, which means they probably brought it home. So there you see, Rabbi must hold that not only could you bring it there, but you can also bring it back. Furthermore, the Tosfot says that Mistamam, according to Tosafot, Yehidi haya shelo haya ela echad mitalmidav emo keshaya rochetz, which means he says that when the Bishamon must have went to the bathhouse, he was alone. Why? Because Halacha says that a student is really not allowed to bathe with his rabbi, because he's now not to see his nakedness, not kavod. So therefore, still you see there was only one man there, and he carried it home. And so therefore you see that with a bee holds, that you can even carry it home, even if it's only one person. Shimuel, now where do you see that Shimuel says you can take it home? De'amar, Rabbi Yudamar Shimuel, Mr. Pek, Adam Ba'aluntit, person who drives over the towel, and he can bring it home into his house. Rabbi Yohanan, where do we know Rabbi Yohanan said it? De'amar, Rabbi Yohanan, Baraba, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Hagacha, Mr. Pek, Adam Ba'aluntit, so clearly Rabbi Yohanan says also that you can't take the Aluntit and bring it home. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Amar, Rabbi Yohanan, Achet, did Rabbi Yohanan be lenient? We know Rabbi Yohanan has a standing rule. Halakha always follows the Stam Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah that's nameless. And we have our Mishnah that says that if you dry yourself even with 10 towels, lo yibien biyado. Right? We learned in our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, you can't bring the towels home. You said, now that you might come to make shechita. How could the Yohanan say you're allowed to? After all, he holds halakha kastam mishnah. Kibras no ha'u kibin hachina'e matnila. He had a rabbi to our mishnah. He said that after this deen of the mishnah, it said divre ben hachinai. So therefore he learned our mishnah was not a stam mishnah. It had a name to it. Therefore he was not bound to follow our mishnah. Amar v'chayyab arabah amar v'yohanan ha'ulayin. The bathhouse attendants, Mivi'in Balare Nashim, they are able to bring the towels that the ladies use to dry themselves, they're able to bring it to the mikveh if they're wearing them. Which means, these towels were, you could wear them, they become like a beged. So if they're wearing them, there's no problem in the reshut harabim. Lebe baneh, to the bathhouse. Ubedvad, shiit kaseh behem, roshan viruban. So long as they wear them the proper way, they have to cover their head with it, and the majority of their body, then it's considered wearing it. Now, Seknita, she says, is sudar gadol. That's like a hat that they would wear, and it would drape down over the shoulders. So they want to know what's the proper way to wear such a garment on Shabbat. So it says, Sarich likshor bet rashea lemata. The parts that come down over the shoulder, the Gemaras, you have to tie them to each other. Why do you have to tie them to each other? So that she says, because they have a tendency to fall off your head. You might come to carry it. So if you're wearing this seknita hat, you have to make sure to tie the sides over the shoulders. Okay? When it says lemat, that means when it's draping over the shoulders, that's where you tie it. Amalu Rava, libne mechoza. Rava told the people of mechoza, ki ma'avritu mane libne chela. When you are going to carry different kelim, different garments for the army. It seems that the Gentile army sometimes would come into the town on Shabbat, and it was obligatory for the Jews to give them garments and different wares. So now the Jews needed to actually carry out the garment to the incoming army. So Rava warned them, when you wear it, make sure you wear it sharbibu behu lemata meketafayim. Make sure the sudar that you wear drapes down to your shoulders, because otherwise it's going to be considered carry. So he was telling him the proper way to wear it. Rashi says, "Shelo yu shuleim unarim b'ketveim." Don't let the ends of the sudar rest on your shoulders. Ela moshchim nemata. Let it drape down over your shoulders, and that's the way it is worn. Sachinu mimashmishin. So we said it's permissible to put oil and rub it in the flesh on Shabbat. Rabbanan, sachinu mimashmishin b'bnei b'arayim b'Shabbat. It's permissible to put the oil and rub it on the intestines on Shabbat. So long as you don't do it in the normal way that's done during the week. So what's the way you do it on Shabbat? So first put the oil and then rub. It seems during the week, first they would rub it and then put the oil. So maybe on Shabbat you have to do it the opposite way. Rabbi Yohanan amar sach u'mimashmesh b'batahat. He says no, on Shabbat you could put the oil, and simultaneous when you put the oil, you rub. It seems according to Rabbi Yohanan, during the week they used to do it separately. Either rub and then put the oil, or put the oil and then rub. So on Shabbat, how do you do it differently? You do it simultaneously. You're not allowed to rub it in with force. Again, that would be considered a weekday activity or a refuah, as we said. That she says, "Sheme'amelet mitchamemet," which the body heats up when you do it such a way. Amar Rav Chaya bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan, "Asur la'amod bekarkaita shel diumasit." It is forbidden to stand on Shabbat in the river called Diumasit. You cannot stand in the on the floor of the bed of the bed of the floor of the Diumasit river. Why? Mipnei shemeamelet, it heats up the body, this water. Umarpe, it seems it was salty water and it was therapeutic. So they don't even want you going to this river on Shabbat. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, kol yameh shel Diumasit asrim ve'had yom. The whole year, there's only 21 days where the Diumasit River is therapeutic. And you should know Shavuot is one of the 21 days. So Ibailu, Atzeret lahaygisa or lahaygisa. Is which side is Shavuot on? Is it the last of the 21 days or is it the beginning of the 21 days? Tashem Adam Ar Shemuel, Kolehu Shakyaneh. All these drinks, we learned early in the Masechet, different type of potions that one makes in order to give different types of refuah. So then we said that not only are the potions that have certain ingredients, but the time of year that you make the potion also has an effect. So Shemuel said, Kulehu shakene, all those drinks that we talk about that are medicinal, middibha ve'ad atzer tamahalu, they only work from Pesach until Shavuot. Oh, so we see from here that what? That you know, there is a certain therapies that work only until Shavuot. So the assumption is that the Diumasit River also works until Shavuot. Kabbalah says no. Dilma'ata, maybe over there by the drinks that we talked about over there, who dekama dekarir alma ma'aleh. There maybe colder weather is better for those drinks. And therefore, from Pesach until Shavuot, which is still, let's say, the beginning of the spring, before the summer, where it's still cold, then it is. That's why it's good. Aval ha'aka mishum havlau. Maybe over here, the whole issue of the Diumasit River is that what? It's hot. Kevan dechamim alma tfe ma'aleh. And maybe it's better when the world is hotter. And therefore, could be Shavuot is the beginning of the season of the Diumasit benefit. And therefore, we have no proof if Shavuot is the beginning of the season or the end of the season. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Chelbo. Hamra de frugita, the wine of a place that was called frugita, which was very delicious wine, as she says. Umayad de Diumasit, and the therapeutic waters of the Dumasit, kipchu aseret ha-shevatim Israel. They were responsible for cutting off the 10 tribes from Israel. Meaning, the 10 tribes that were eventually sent into exile was because they neglected their obligations to study Torah. Why did they neglect it? Because they went after the good wines of the place called Frugita, and they went and bathed in the Dumasit. Rashi comes along and says, Shayu ba'ale hana'a. And they became indulgent. Because they went into the good life, so it caused them to be destroyed or be thrown out of Israel. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, famous story. Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, one of the greatest Tanaim, he got to Dumasit. That's where he set up his residence. Imshich batrayu. He got drawn after them. He got drawn after the good life. Yaakar Talmude. So he forgot his learning. Kiadar. When he came back, Ata kam the mikra b'sifra. So he got up to read the sefer. Baal the mikra chodesh azelachem. He wanted to read the pasuk chodesh azelachem, that this month is for you. Amar, but instead he made a mistake and he read achere shayali bam. Geez, their hearts have become deafened, which is a siman that the rabbi regressed because he was out of the yeshuv, he was out of the settlement where the yeshiva was. He went to the resort area, so to speak. So the rabbis prayed for Nabi Lazam and Adar, the Adar Talmud, and his Talmud came back to him. The Hainu Bitnan, that's what we learned in the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. Rabbi Nehorai said, Heve gole limkom Torah. You should know what, exile yourself if you're a Tamid Chacham. Don't sit in isolation, but you have to go to a place where there is Torah with the students. Ba'al tomar shitavu acharecha. Don't say the Torah will come to me, like Rabbi Elazar ben Arach said. He figured he'll move to Dumasit and everybody will follow. Don't say that. Shechavircha yekaimua biyadecha. Because your colleagues will be the cause that your Torah will be remembered by you. What's the explanation? So that she says that when a scholar learns a certain masechet, and he finishes the masechet, if he's alone, so now he moves to the next masechet, he forgets the first masechet. But he was with a group of Talmidei HaChamim, they're studying a different masechet, so they're always going to ask him questions on the other stuff, on the old stuff that he learned. So he's always constantly reviewing the old stuff that he learns. That's what it means. Shechaberecha yekaimu habiyadecha. Your friends will sustain the Torah by you. Do not rely on your own intuition. Meaning, don't outsmart yourself and say, I'm okay, I can go to this place where nothing will happen. Do not rely and say, I'm a great chacham and I have a great memory, and therefore, you know, when I review it, I'll remember it. No. Tana, Lord of Nehorai Shemo. The author of that Mishnah was Rav Nehorai. So the Gemara says his real name was not Rav Nehorai. Ela Rabbi Nehamya Shemo. His name is Rabbi Nehamya. Ve'amri la Rabbi Elazar ben Arach shemo. And some say it was actually Rabbi Elazar ben Arach. He made that teaching. We don't know if he made that teaching after what happened to him. It makes sense. And after the episode that happened to him, so he taught this teaching. Ve'lama nekra shemo Rabbi Nehorai. So then why would they call Rabbi Nehamya or Rabbi Elazar ben Arach by the name of Nehorai? Shemanhir ani hachamim halacha. Because he enlightened the eyes of the hachamim in halacha. Like it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avot that Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was one of the five students of Rabbi Yohanan ben Zakkai. And the Mishnah there says that Rabbi Yohanan said that if the entire Chachmei Yisrael were on one side of the scale, and Rabbi Elazar ben Arach was on the other side, he would outweigh all of them. So therefore they referred to him as the Nehorai, the one that enlightened the eyes of Israel. Abalo mitgarerin. We said in the Mishnah one is allowed to take a certain instrument and peel off the skin on Shabbat, that would be considered ovdin dehol, a weekday activity. Tarabanan. En goredin b'megareret b'Shabbat. One is not to peel off skin with the megareret. That's the certain utensil that is used, the peeler. Rabban told Yom Le'el Omer, imayu raglab b'luchlachot betit o betsoa gorer kedarko v'en ochoshesh. Rashbag comes up and says, but if his feet are dirty, he's allowed to peel off the dirt. Because that's like a sort of din dehol. Din dehol was considered what? When you're just peeling off skin to peel off the skin. Here you're not doing it in the normal way. Here you're doing it to get off the dirt. So it's not the normal way they would do it during the week in this process of just peeling off the skin itself. Therefore it's permissible. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda avda le'ime megarerta de kaspa. The Gemara says that Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda's mother made for him a silver peeler. And therefore he used to use that on Shabbat. Well, since he had one that was designated for Shabbat, it was not considered Ovdin Dehol. What is it Ovdin Dehol if he used the regular instrument that used all week long? But hey, he had a Shabbat silver piece, so therefore he had it was permissible. And your din le Kordima. We said in the Mishnah that one cannot go down to the river called Kordima on Shabbat. So my Tama, Mishum Pika. Because of Pika, she says, Teach el oto nahar mahlik. It seems there was mud in that river, and it was very slippery. And what were we concerned about? Right? If the guy's going to slip in the water, so all his garments are going to become wet. So therefore, since it's slippery, the concern is he might fall. If he falls, his clothes are going to get wet, and then the concern is he might come to squeeze them out. One cannot do this type of enema on Shabbat. Amar Rabbar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo shanu ela besam. This is only talking where you're actually taking a sam, a certain potion that causes the food to vomit. Aval biyad mutar. But to stick one's finger down his throat in order to cause himself to vomit, that would be permissible. Now, Tanya Rabbi Nehemiah Omer, Av Bechol Asur. He says, not only on Shabbat is Asur, but even during the week it would be forbidden to give oneself an animal like this. They have said, Ochlin, because you're wasting the food that you vomited. Meaning, now once he vomits, he's hungry again. So they have to eat some more. So that's already have said, Ochlin. You were full already. So therefore, to do such a thing, again, we're not talking about where he's doing it for therapeutic purposes, where he's sick. But like the Romans used to do this in order that they can eat some more. So therefore they tell you this is a sur because they've said Ochlin. Because now you're getting hungry again, you can eat some more food. You're wasting that food because you didn't have to really eat it because you were full. Comes again and concludes one more point. Ve'en ma'asim in itakatan. That was talking about you're not allowed to fix his vertebrae on Shabbat. Amar Amar Yohanan. Lifufe yinuka b'Shabbat shapir dame. It is permissible to swaddle the child in a blanket on Shabbat. We learned once the child is born, a lot of times as he's passing through the birthing canal, his bones bend out of shape. So what they would do is they would take a blanket, so to speak, and they would swaddle the baby in order to keep everything straight. So that is permissible on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? But we learned from our Mishnah that you're not allowed to straighten out the limbs of the child on Shabbat. So make up your mind. If you can swaddle them, so what was our Mishnah saying that you can't? So the Gemara says, Hatam bechumre shidra. Our Mishnah specifically is talking about the spine, where you're actually clicking back in the different vertebrae. It's dome, it's similar to building. Rashi says in the bottom, lefufe, kemos shosin lekatan, shiit yeshivu evarab. Right, when they swallow the child, nor that his bones say straight, velu yitakim, and they do not become bent. Bechomre shidra, choliot shel shidra, shenit parka achat mehem. One of the vertebrae of the spine, that one of them became dislocated. Ulahar zeman kamaydi. We're talking over here, not on the day he was born. This is talking about after the child is born. Di'i biyom leda. However, if it's on the day of birth, we learned earlier that even that would be permissible. So therefore, it's only talking about after birth, and it's only talking about the spine. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.